I'm Cosette Vergeri. I'm an attorney and I'm a client of City National Bank. When I started my law practice, one of the very important things was choosing the right bank. The initial referral to City National Bank came from Richard Moon. He is my CPA.
She was looking to establish a banking relationship, and I had been with City National about 3 years.
There was a much more personal touch, much more interest in who I was as an individual, who I was as a lawyer, and what I needed to do with my business. And the online services are really great because I can manage my accounts from anywhere I'm traveling, which really helps me handle my business.
The referral did get me a date.
It did lead to a marriage.
I would never think of leaving City National Bank.
The people you trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media.
Listen up!
NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
It is live and local now all across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, in great communities like Ely, listening on 1230 AM KELY, in Battle Mountain on KNNT, tell you what, in Amargosa Valley, in Hawthorne, in Pahrump. We are there, and what we're talking about is the race in CD4. Congressional District 4, which is going to be a barn burner, both from a primary and a general election standpoint. Joining us now is one of the candidates in CD4, David Gibbs. And if the name sounds familiar, it should be because he's been a part of Republican Party leadership over the years. He is taking time out of his busy schedule to be a part of this race and to be a part of this show. David Gibbs, good morning.
Hey, Kevin, how are you today?
I am good. I want to ask you, a lot of people know you in Republican politics, but a lot of voters may not. Talk a little bit. Give me the one-minute biographical on David Gibbs.
I've lived in Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, for 19 years. I'm a retired Air Force lieutenant colonel. Spent most of my time in the Air Force flying airplanes, 25 years total service. Since I retired, I've been working in the defense contracting industry, mostly in unmanned aircraft, remotely piloted aircraft.
Drones to the rest of us.
There you go. And most of our work is involved operations or supporting the guys overseas. I've been involved in politics in Nevada. I was chairman of the county party, as you mentioned. I've been involved. I've been on the state central committee since about 2006. So I'm not new to Nevada politics, and I've met a lot of folks around the state and got a really fairly good knowledge of what's going on around here.
So when you go to Hawthorne, when you go to Ely, a lot of people know you.
They do, and I'm introducing myself to more every time I make a visit.
I'm going to ask you the question I ask every candidate that sits in that chair, because I know, having dealt with candidates since we started this show back on CBS back in 2011, we've been tracking candidates. And the one thing I know of, it takes a lot of money. A lot of times I've seen candidates donating money to their own campaigns, using their personal credit cards for placards and things like that. So I know that there's a great sacrifice that candidates make, the ones that win and even the ones that don't win. Why are you in this race? Why did you look at CD4 as the place where you could make a difference?
Well, first and foremost, I live in CD4. So it is the natural place for me to run. I got in the race. I was watching what Congress was doing. And when President Trump got elected, one of the things he talked about is it's about us. It's about the people. It's about making America great again and focusing on the American people. And initially there was some effort in that direction, but I've kind of seen the Congress drift away from that a little bit. And the tax reform bill was a good thing, but they didn't repeal Obamacare. There were some other things where I think that they're paying a little bit more attention to Washington than they are to those of us out here. We need to move the Trump agenda a little bit quicker, because as soon as the election's over next year, they're going to be talking about 2020 again. And so everybody's going to be focusing on that. So we need to push and move the Trump agenda a little bit more on making America first and improving things for folks here at home. And the other thing we need, I have a reputation at work for being somebody who basically gets stuff done. I'm not somebody who admires a problem. And so that's one of the things I think I can bring to Congress, and I think I can represent the folks here, is go there and work hard to get stuff done.
You've got at least one member of the primary, Crescent Hardy, who has served in Washington. And I guess my question is, do we need new blood? I mean, real new blood in Washington, people that have not served in Congress before, but people who have new ideas that they can bring to the table, like yourself?
We always do. And every election, there are new folks who are out there who are bringing new ideas to Congress and new ways of looking at things to get things done for the American people. So that's something that we need to continue to focus on. And that's something that I know I can bring, is some new ways of looking at how to get things done.
David Gibbs joining us. He's running for Congress in Congressional District 4. And by the way, for those that don't know, CD4 is a big, huge district. You're spending a lot of time and a lot of miles on your tires going to these places. It may well be the biggest district of them all, just in the number of miles that you have to drive to go from one end to the other. Give me a thumbnail sketch of how it's going so far. Where have you been?
Well, I've been up to Hawthorne a couple of times. Mineral County is in the northwest part. There's part of southern part of Lyon County, and I've talked to some folks there, and I'll get up there soon. Was over in Ely at Saturday in White Pine. I'll be in Lincoln County this Saturday, and I've talked to some folks in Esmeralda. I've been over to Nye County a couple of times, and I'm going to be there on Saturday also. So we're getting around in the rural areas that we need to do. And like you said, it's a pretty big district.
It's huge.
Yeah, here in Clark County, it's about the northern section of Clark County. And I've been to numerous events around this area of Clark County, or around Clark County as well, and meeting with folks around the district in Clark County. So I've been on the road quite a bit.
I was just going to say, and by the way, is Clark County a part of CD4?
Yes, the very northern edge, Mesquite, a lot of North Las Vegas, the northwest part of Sun City, Summerlin, are in CD4.
I know that having watched your career politically over the last 5, 6, 7 years, you are a great listener. Tell me what you're hearing from voters. What are you hearing from folks, you know, both here in Clark County, but also as you go north and you go into White Pine and Esmeralda counties and some of these other counties?
Well, one of the big things I'm finding, especially in the rural counties, is there are a lot of big President Trump supporters out there, folks that have been on board with him since the beginning. I have been a supporter of the president since before he got the nomination and have continued supporting him. In fact, I'm probably a bigger fan of his now than I was even during the election cycle because of how he's handled himself and the things that he's doing as president. But that's the bigger. They're looking for somebody who's going to continue to support the president's America First agenda. They're looking for somebody who is honest in what they say about that, and that they are on board with the president and they're not going to waver in supporting the issues that he's going to keep an eye on the people and to make America first. That's probably the biggest thing I'm finding when I go out in the rural areas. The other thing is that they talk about land use. Obviously, with the BLM and the federal government owning most of the land here in Nevada, that's a big issue that folks out in the rurals are concerned about. And I'd like to take a look at trying to bring more of that land back to Nevada ownership rather than the federal government owning it. But those are two of the biggies out in the rurals. Here in Clark County, some of the biggest issues we're dealing with are immigration. Most of the folks I talk about, they want this solved. The politicians in Washington have been kicking this can down the road for, since President Reagan was in office. And so I think that's one of the things that they're looking to try and get this dealt with is let's come up with, you know, let's quit talking about comprehensive immigration reform and actually do something about it.
Do you like what the president did? I mean, he went further than even Democrats, going from 800,000 people getting a path to citizenship to 1.8 million. There were some Republicans that didn't like it. The Democrats, they just ran away from it. They seem to want an issue rather than a fix to this problem. Tell me how you think the president has done on those issues.
Well, I think his approach, the offer that he made was a really good entry level point. Okay. He actually gave the Democrats more than they wanted and said, hey, if we deal with chain migration, we deal with the visa lottery, we deal with the wall, I'll give you 1.8 million Dreamers. And that's a great place to start the negotiation. The Democrats, I think, took one look and went, oh my gosh, we can't possibly let the president get credit for this. And number two is we don't want to solve this problem because we solve this problem. We can't run on this issue anymore. And that's one of the things, I think those are two of the big factors why they are opposed to making this deal with the president. But it's a good starting point. Where are we going to get to? And the biggest issue that we need to deal with is, okay, if we create some type of legal status for the Dreamers, what is that legal status going to be and how's that going to work? And that's part of the discussions that I think still need to go on.
I'm just curious, is it your view that the Democrats, whether it's Stephen Horsford or whether it's any of the other Democrats, do they want an issue or do they want a solution, a long-term? And that's something the president's talked about. He wanted a long-term solution, not a Band-Aid, but something that, you know, we won't have to be coming back in 3 to 5 years with. Do you believe the Democrats want a solution or do they want an issue?
Oh, they want an issue. It's the same thing with the economy when you talk about trying to solve some of the economic problems. A lot of what they run on is gearing up the folks emotionally rather than looking, how do we logically solve this problem? And that's what we need to attack, is we need to go at and say, these are solutions that we need to address rather than just kind of letting the issues linger out there. That's part of getting things done that I'm working on.
I want to ask you about your business. In your business, you have been to Afghanistan. You have been to different parts of the world, the Middle East. And now we have over the weekend, we have late Friday, the attack on Syria and their weapons of mass destruction capability. First of all, were you in favor of the raid in Syria, a targeted approach, and with allies, Britain and France?
Yeah, what Assad did was horrific. I mean, the world banned chemical weapons after World War I for a reason, because they are so horrible. My grandfather was wounded in a gas attack in the trenches in France in World War I. So I remember some of the conversations, grandfather to grandson when I was a youngster talking about he spent months in a hospital in France recovering from that. And in some ways it affected his respiratory system the rest of his life. So I understand what some of the personal aspects can be from that. But the fact that he used these on women and children in his own country is absolutely horrific, and somebody need to do something, and we are the folks that needed to do that. I love the fact that Britain and France got on board, because now it's more than just us. It's part other countries in the world standing up and saying, no more. You need to stop this. And so it helps garner more international support. And I also think it helps delegitimize Russia and Iran, saying that, well, it's just the U.S. against us, because now it's not just the U.S.
I want to ask you, because every candidate I've ever talked to on the Republican side, they always say they want to trim the size of government. They want smaller, leaner, more efficient government. And then when you get to specifics, they get kind of mute. They go, well, on the one hand, and they never really give you a straight answer. I want to ask you just right up front, The three ideas you have for actually trimming the size of government.
Well, one of the ones I like is I would draw a circle with a 50-mile radius around the Capitol building and basically say we're going to reduce the federal workforce, non-military, inside that circle by 5% in the first year.
Wow.
And no fair moving anything outside the circle. And so that's because that would reduce. And I would be willing to bet that most people in even in the federal government would not miss that workforce. But the amount of money that can be saved both in infrastructure and in salaries would be significant. So I think that's one. Number two is there are a lot of inefficiencies in government. We know that. There are a lot of competing entities. I had a friend of mine who came up to me one time. He had retired from the Air Force and had gone to a veterans center to get some help putting together a resume, civilianizing his resume. And so he did that. And then he went to another veteran support center, also supported by the federal government, because there are multiple entities out there. And they basically trashed his resume, saying that it was a horrible resume, even though he'd gotten it done from another veteran center. What we need to do is look at ways to streamline that process. And rather than having seven or eight different operations, consolidate it down into one. The third thing I think we need to take a look at is other areas of overlap, not just in the Veterans Center, but there are a lot of areas of overlap where you have multiple agencies doing the same thing in multiple budgets, and we need to consolidate that into one entity.
I want to ask you, because everybody that wants to go to Congress has a pet project, a pet cause. Hey, this is what I'm going to zero in on. I want to be on these committees because I want to deal with this. Where will your emphasis be if you go to Washington in January?
On the people in Congressional District 4. Everything I do will be focused on that. What's the impact on them? What's the impact on their livelihoods, their pocketbooks? What is the impact on their ability to put money away for their college, for their kids' college education, or to put money away for their retirement? I'm in the same boat. I am a middle-class kind of guy who has saved money. I put my kids through college, and now they've gone out on their own. But I've been focusing, and like everybody else, I just finished my income taxes and took a look at how much money I sent to Uncle Sam last year and the check that I've got to write. So I understand the impact of all of these things that are going on in Washington and what happens and what it does here for the folks in Nevada. So anything I do is going to be focused on them. That's the biggie.
I want to ask you, only because we've got reporting deadlines and all of that. You're facing an uphill battle in that you're trying to raise money in a really tough environment. I guess in my final minute, how can people help you? How have you done so far in fundraising? And is that an area that you do need help with?
Oh, every candidate needs help, and I definitely can use more help on that. Part of the issue is that I just got in this race right at the end of February. And so there were other candidates who were already out there and who already met with a lot of folks. And that's probably the biggest issue that I'm facing in the fundraising regard. However, you know, folks can go to my website. It's www.gibbs4nevada.com. And you can hit the donate button, and I'll be more than happy to put any donation you'd be willing to give, any support you'd be willing to help. I will put it to good use on this campaign, getting the word out about our candidacy and how I'm going to represent the folks in District 4 in Washington.
And if there are other things that you need, it would be what, yard signs, call centers, what kind of stuff do you need besides money?
Oh, folks that want to help us out, the calling campaign is getting started here, and so we're going to be getting going on that and trying to reach out to the voters across the district, trying to get folks, you know, that one of the things that you keep hearing all the time from the media is how energized the Democrats are. Well, I'll tell you, out in the rural areas I've been, there are a lot of energized Republicans as well. Here in Clark County, there are a lot of energized Republicans, and we've seen voter registration that the RNC's been doing here, closing the gap between Republicans and Democrats in this state, in addition to not just in CD4. So we need folks to talk to their folks, talk to their friends, talk to their neighbors, their families about the issues that are going on, talk about the fact that this is important. You know, when you look at what the Democrats are offering, I was driving down here today, and there's a billboard on I-15 that talks about repealing the tax. They're talking about resisting the president, impeaching the president. So those are the things that they're focusing on. We need to make sure that our message is getting out there, that we're gonna hold Congress and we're going to keep the leadership.
David Gibbs, great to have you with us. We'll have you in again. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for having me. Remember, vote for Dave Gibbs on June 12th in CD4.
There you go. Stick around. More to do as we continue live and local now. A passionate reaction to James Comey's book. That's next.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
I promised you that I would let you hear a spirited, scorched earth review of James Comey's new book. Not everybody's read it. It's not out officially till tomorrow. But he was on with George Stephanopoulos last night. And a number of outfits. Fox, I think, has a copy of it. A whole bunch of people have a copy of it. We haven't seen a copy of it yet, so I can't testify to what's in that book. But the one somebody that has read it is Judge Jeanine Pirro with Fox News. This is Cut 7. This was her rather passionate review of the James Comey book.
Now, why would you believe a guy with a history replete with lies, dishonesty, and contradictions? We'll find out Tuesday when disgraced former FBI Director James Comey's book, A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership, hits the stands. Truth, lies, and leadership? Really? Talk about an oxymoron, Jim. You're the ultimate liar. You lied on multiple occasions to multiple people, including Congress, under oath. And that's a crime. Truth? You refused to follow the law, causing both Republicans and Democrats to call for your head. And leadership? You violated the rules of your own agency by leaking classified information to a friend to leak to the New York Times. You went along with Loretta Lynch's false narrative that Hillary's case was a matter, not an investigation. And folks, get ready for a knife fight between Jim Comey and Loretta Lynch on both that as well as that tarmac charade. Jim, you've repeatedly proven your inability to run the FBI in a non-political way. You stayed silent as the New York Times retracted the story that Hillary's FBI review was a security referral and not a criminal referral. As if the FBI is a security company installing locks in peepholes. You say the president is unethical, while you turned a well-respected agency into a haven of organized criminal conspirators at the top echelon. Your book, Jim, isn't about leadership. It's about butt-kissing.
I love it. I love it when Jeanine Pirro gets a little passionate. That's always fun. By the way, I want to take just a moment. Two quick things I wanted to mention. One really good, the one kind of sad. For those of you that have been following the Vegas Golden Knights, and I have become a huge fan. I've been to about four games, I think, somebody, four games. Was not there for the final, for the two playoff games at home. But I've been watching them all. And one of the things that I was really pleased about last night, that the LA Kings beat the Golden Knights in the first period. They hit more, they played more directly. But in the second and third period, I thought the Golden Knights took control of not only that game, they hit more consistently. They won all the one-on-one battles, or most of them, in the second and third period, and that's why they won. But I was so pleased by that, and so congratulations. They're now up 3-0. The fourth and maybe deciding game, depending on what happens, the Golden Knights only need one more win to move on in the playoffs. If they don't, then they come back here for a game five. And boy, you don't think the joint will be jumping. The other thing I want to just very quickly point out, a pioneer in this industry died over the weekend, Art Bell. For those of you that listen to overnight radio and Coast to Coast AM for many years, died Friday at his home in Pahrump at the age of 72. And no cause of death has been announced, pending an autopsy later this week. Bell served in the Air Force. He worked in Monterey on both radio and TV. Before he joined KDON, and his local show began in, I guess, 1978. But he has been a force in radio, especially overnight radio. George Norrie kind of took over for him. But Art Bell has been, he was a pioneer. He was doing overnight radio when there was no overnight radio. Especially talk radio and radio about UFOs and Area 51. Really cool. I only met him once, I think. I met him at an NAB meeting. And the dumb thing is, I didn't even know he was back in this area. Because remember, he had moved to somewhere in the South Pacific. And anyway, Art Bell, dead at the age of 72, and truly an icon. The end of an era in talk radio, that variety of talk radio. Not political at all. Not political in the least. But all about what's going on out there. Conspiracy theories and things like that. Art Bell, dead at the age of 72. I want to get back to the audio sound bites, only because there's so much stuff going on. I don't know if you caught this. But Kate McKinnon's Laura Ingraham, I didn't think was very good. Did you see Saturday Night Live? We're going to go to Cut 5. This is Kate McKinnon's Laura Ingraham impression, responding to losing, I think the number is up to about 27 sponsors on her TV show on Fox. Listen to Kate McKinnon's Laura Ingraham.
This week, Red Lobster, Blue Apron, and SlimFast joined the advertiser boycott against Fox News host Laura Ingraham after she mocked Parkland survivor David Hogg for getting rejected from four colleges. She's back on her show after a forced hiatus. Here to comment is Laura Ingraham.
Thank you so much. Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And congratulations on returning to your show.
Thank you. It's so good to be back after that planned vacation. It was so fun and so planned and so scheduled a long time ago. Look, the important thing is I'm back. And I'm not going to cave to bullying from the tolerant left. I don't care if I lost a couple sponsors.
Well, so far you've lost 27.
Yeah. And all because I trolled a traumatized teen. After spewing venom for decades, Twitter suddenly has made me accountable. Okay. You know what? That can't keep me down, because I'm really excited about some of my new sponsors. Like Carl Sr. Leftover Carl's Jr. food ground to mush for old people. Carl Sr. And Your Pillow. From the makers of My Pillow, send us Your Pillow. We need more pillows. Or how about Shkreli's Jelly? It's just jelly that's $8,000 a jar.
And are those real products, Laura?
Yep. You see, the totalitarian left can attack me all they want. But I will continue to defend the First Amendment. That's my right to bully people without being bullied in return. Right, Colin?
Yeah. No, that's not how it works, Laura.
Fine. Yeah. But just look. Don't boycott my show. Our country's so divided right now, and I'm an important part of that. Let's move on. You know I'm going to say something worse. Why don't you just watch the show and find out what that's going to be? Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to mention more of my sponsors. Like Lady Bumpstock, the lightweight bump stocks for delicate hands. And Reverse Mortgage. We'll take that house now. And how about...
I didn't like the impression. I didn't think the impression was very good. What'd you think? I didn't think she made her sound like a drunk on air or a drug abuser. Yeah. No. Anyway, but that was, who was that? Kate McKinnon's version of Laura Ingraham on Saturday Night Live. Stick around. We got a lot more to do as we continue live and local now.
They got Tesla. We got Faraday. We need a governor who will create high-tech, high-paid jobs and build schools that will educate our kids, not a $2 billion taxpayer-funded stadium. I get it.
Paid for by friends of Dan Schwartz.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
My name is Dustin Coney. I'm the owner of Mr. Coney's Barbershop, and I'm a proud client of City National Bank. My grandfather was a barber, grew up in his shop, sweeping the floors. Being a barber is more than just somebody that's cutting hair. You are a friend, you're a brother, you're a neighbor, and that's what inspired me to get into it. I was referred to City National by Gina McAllister. She is somebody that I trust with my entire business.
When Dustin came to me as a new business owner, I knew referring him to City National Bank would be a good idea because I knew they would take care of him.
It was important to be with people that I know care about me and my success and offer products and services that will help my business reach its long-term goals. I see Mr. Coney's being in every city in the United States of America. I see products, I see hair salons, I see everything. And I know as my business grows, my relationship with City National will grow.
The people you trust City National. Visit cnb.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
Cat owners, listen up. There's a new product for cats who have the need for weed. It's called Meowawana. This isn't your daddy's catnip. The purveyors at Meowawana have developed an entire line of 100% organic catnip, accessories, and apparel. And Meowawana is manufactured with no marijuana. But who cares? It is so cool. Check out their amazing website at meowawana.com. You'll find jars of buds, pill bottles of leaf and flake, spliffs, blunts, spray, and even medical Meowawana ID cards. Your furry friends will love it. And Meowawana is produced right here in the USA. It's a perfect treat for your BFF. That's best feline friend. And you know how good catnip is for your cat. It helps stimulate exercise and is safe and non-addictive. Order Meowawana now and get the Kevin Wall special. 15% off. Just use the promo code WALL at checkout. We're not kidding around. Go to meowawana.com. That's MEOWIJUANA.com. Meowawana.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. I know you have a busy life with lots of activities that may keep you from your radio or smartphone between 9 and noon. That's why we've created Live and Local Now on demand. You miss an interview? You want to hear my take on a current hot button issue? Then Live and Local Now on demand is where you want to be. Check it out on our website, KevinWallRadio.com. It's user-friendly and it's free. Try it out now. Go to KevinWallRadio.com.
In 1776, men and women said no to the swamp and chose independence. 2018 is no different. Insiders want to buy, not elect our government. Dan Schwartz won't take their money. He believes in you, the voters, not billionaires and their lobbyists.
Paid for by friends of Dan Schwartz.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Never.
It is live and local now. I want to tell you, I love real water. As you know, we drink real water on this show. I drink real water at home. And all in-studio guests on Live and Local Now receive a bottle of real water. David Gibbs walked away with a bottle of real water. He was drinking it during the show. With real water, you can hydrate like never before. How do they do it? Well, since real water is alkaline with an 8.0 pH and negative ionized, it can help your body to restore balance and reach your full potential. Real water, it's available right now at Terrible Herbs gas stations all across the state of Nevada and in participating Valley Meat Markets in Indio for the everyday low price of just $2 for $3. That's right, $2 for $3. You want to save more money on your real water? Try Real Water Home Delivery. I'm a customer. They bring it right to my door, and I save tons of dough on Real Water. Check it out for yourself. No obligation. Just check out their website, realwaterhomedelivery.com. That's realwaterhomedelivery.com. Now, one of the things that we've been doing is we've been tracking essentially reaction to not only the James Comey book, but over the weekend, the variety of, there were multiple tweets from the president relative to James Comey. And Sarah Sanders was asked by Fox News, or no, this was with George Stephanopoulos, enemy territory. And Sarah Sanders talked about the Cohen raid and a possible Mueller firing.
Is the White House more concerned about the Michael Cohen investigation than they are about the Mueller investigation?
Look, our concern is on doing what the president was elected to do, growing the economy, creating jobs, defeating ISIS, building and protecting our borders. This is the focus of this administration. Certainly, we're going to respond to some of the charges brought against us and brought directly against the president. As we've said before, he's a fighter and he's going to hit back when he's hit. But that's the focus and certainly the policy priorities that this administration is going to spend our time on.
Why did the president call Michael Cohen on Friday?
I'm sorry?
Why did the president call Michael Cohen on Friday?
Look, he's had a long relationship with Michael Cohen. He's going to continue to have that relationship. In terms of specifics of their private conversation, I can't get into that.
Is he worried that Michael Cohen might turn state's evidence?
Look, the president is very confident in the fact that he has done nothing wrong, and he can't speak on behalf of anyone else, but he's very confident in what he has and hasn't done, and he's going to continue focusing and fighting for the American people.
Also, there was a report over the weekend that Michael Cohen, according to McClatchy, may actually have been in Prague talking to Russians during the campaign. That's the report. In McClatchy, I should say that Michael Cohen adamantly denies that contention. Is the president convinced that Michael Cohen is telling the truth? And what would his reaction be if those meetings did indeed happen?
I can't speak on behalf of Michael Cohen and what he may or may not have done. That's something that will be determined. I know that he's contested that that's not accurate, but I haven't had a conversation with the president about that specific instance.
That was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I'm just telling you. That's one of those things, the Michael Cohen thing, that I think is deeply personal. When you have your own personal attorney raided by the FBI. Now, Sarah Sanders, let's go to cut four. This was her reaction to that Trump tweet storm over the weekend, much of it directed at James Comey.
As you were answering that question, the president just came out with his fifth tweet of the morning on James Comey. I'm sure your phone buzzed as you were talking as well. I want to dig into this just a little bit. When that tweet that John Carl cited right here, there, where he says the president, where he says Comey gave up classified information, jail. Why did he lie to Congress, jail? What exactly is the president referring to there? And has he asked the Justice Department to investigate James Comey?
Look, it's been very clear that James Comey is a self-admitted leaker. He lied to Congress. He's been inconsistent.
What did he
constantly
lie to Congress about?
Look, he said that he opened the Hillary Clinton investigation on its merits. Now we're finding out certainly that it had something to do with the political landscape. I find it outrageously unbelievable that Jim Comey, the man that takes these copious notes and recollects every detail of every conversation that he had, can't remember why he would have specifically opened an investigation into a presidential candidate, particularly somebody he thought would become the president.
He does remember. He goes into great detail.
And he also, the clip you played just a few minutes ago says, I can't be sure. I'm sure that was part of it. I think I thought about it. I mean, give me a break. The guy knew exactly what he was doing. He thought Hillary Clinton would win, and he thought that this would give him some cover. He thought that he made these decisions based on the political landscape and not on the facts of the case. And when the person that is supposed to lead the highest law enforcement agency in our country starts making decisions based on political environments instead of on what is right and what is wrong, that's a really dangerous position. And I think that's one of the reasons there is such a huge bipartisan consensus that James Comey doesn't have credibility and shouldn't have been leading the FBI any longer.
Well, that's not exactly what he said, but is the president asking the Justice Department to investigate James Comey?
I'm not aware of a specific ask of the Justice Department, but I do think if they feel there was any wrongdoing, they should certainly look into that, just as they do on a number of other topics.
I keep asking myself the question, and by the way, this goes back to somebody that I supported. I've liked Jeff Sessions from afar. I loved Jeff Sessions when he was in studio for about an hour with us, and he sat in the chair to my left, and very forthcoming during the campaign. But as Attorney General, and maybe there's a reason, maybe there's something we don't know, why he hasn't moved on the Hillary emails, on so many of the other issues that are out there, and he has done nothing. I mean, there's no investigation of that tarmac meeting between Loretta Lynch and the former President Bill Clinton. There's none of that. And my question is, where are the investigations dating back to the Obama administration?
It's time for Nevada Voices.
Hello, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. You might be thinking, oh great, another political commercial. And you know what? You're right. Who wants to hear from another blowhard politician on the radio going off on the promises they're going to break later anyway? Well, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to tell you a story about a young man from a small town called Waynetown, Indiana. As a young man there, I learned the value of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending wisely. That's right. I learned conservative principles in that small town, and I proudly carried them with me ever since. Those conservative principles carried me through 35 years of service as a federal employee. It's one thing to know what goes into making a hot dog. It's quite another to see the actual consequences. What my beliefs did teach me was that instead of complaining about bureaucracy and red tape, I needed to find solutions. So that's what I did. I learned to navigate around the problems and solve things within the system and to develop the solutions that needed to get done. And that's what I plan to do in Carson City after I'm elected. I intend to help cut red tape and find solutions to our problems. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight against tax increases and excessive regulations that stifle the creation of businesses and force hardworking Nevadans to take a hit in their wages. I will never waver on the conservative principles that we share. And when the going gets tough, I will stand up for what's right. That's why on June 12th in the primary election, if you're tired of politics as usual and want to see a change, I encourage you to think big, vote small. Jim Small for Assembly District 2. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
Coming up, Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. We'll talk about what's going on. James Comey's book is going to be out tomorrow. And we'll talk about the interview with George Stephanopoulos. All that, a whole lot more. It's all straight ahead, live and local now. Another one bites the dust, and another one gone, and another one done. Another one bites the dust, hey, hey, gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust. Yeah.
Do you want to earn a higher rate of return than you're making in the stock market? I'm talking about beating the market year after year. Hi, I'm Greg Herlihan. If you want to make more tax-free income, call me today at 888-738-1764. I specialize in helping people make more tax-free income with an IRA-approved retirement vehicle. And best of all, it's approved by the IRS. So what are you waiting on? Call me at 888-738-1764 and take control of your financial future with tax-free income. Call me at 888-738-1764. The consultation is absolutely free, so call me at 888-738-1764.
Horizon Trust Company is an independent passive custodian and is not associated or affiliated with and does not recommend, promote, or advise any specific investment opportunity, investment company, or any agents, employees, representatives, or other of such firms or entities. Investments are not FDIC insured, offer no bank guarantee, and may lose value.
Take control of your financial future. Call 888-738-1764.